In 1893, the burgeoning city of Chicago became host to what was called the Columbian Exposition, a world's fair of monumental proportions created and designed to commemorate the 400th anniversary of Columbus's discovery for European civilization of the Western Hemisphere. It has been described as America's great Gilded Age fair. Within the environment of the fair's extraordinary spectacle of late 19th century scientific and technological achievements, along with buildings, landscapes, and exhibits representing cultures from around the world, were also included events designed to showcase religions from around the globe. This involved presentations from a wide variety of religious figures, for it was here, in Chicago, in September 1893, that was born the World's Parliament of Religions, a groundbreaking interfaith conference. One which by no means was all-inclusive, but still provided an unprecedented gathering of a great diversity of faith traditions from both within the Judeo-Christian fold and from other religious traditions, particularly from the East, from Asia. As part of this heady environment came the opportunity for the newly formed Christian Science Church to present itself on a world stage, an event which proved to be both promising for eager adherence to the faith and problematic for its leader, Mary Baker Eddy. Hello, I'm Jonathan Eder, host of Seekers and Scholars, a podcast from the Mary Baker Eddy Library, and I'm so pleased to be here with Richard Hughes Seeger, author of The World's Parliament of Religions, The East-West Encounter, Chicago, 1893, published most recently in 2009 by Indiana University Press as part of its Religion in North America series. Just as an aside, it might be interesting for some of our listeners to note that Stephen Godchalk's book, Rolling Away the Stone, Mary Baker Eddy's Challenge to Materialism, is also part of that same series. And I'm also so pleased to welcome Megan Pino, a researcher at the Mary Baker Eddy Library, to be part of the conversation. She is author of Christian Science at the World's Parliament of Religions, published as an article in the library's From the Collections web series. So welcome, Richard.
I'm pleased to be here.
It's great to have you with us. And welcome, Megan.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to be here as well.
So Megan and Richard, I'm delighted to have this conversation with you about the historical significance of the 1893 World Parliament of Religions and what it means for us today, and to examine how the Christian Science experience fit into the overall proceedings and character of this groundbreaking interfaith assembly. So I thought that a good way for us to get started with our expedition into the exposition and its religious dimensions would be to cite this sentence from your book, Richard. You write, "The Parliament deserves a central place in American and modern religious history." Why should we think of the World Parliament of Religion set in Chicago in 1893 in this way?
Well, at the time that I wrote this, the interfaith movement was very broad, very popular, very powerful at places like the Harvard Divinity School or all sorts of places. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of it going on. And here you're looking at what is arguably the inaugural event in global interfaith dialogue.
So, Richard, in thinking about the presence of religion at the Columbian Exposition as part of the much longer world's fair, what were the organizational structures that led this to happen?
You have the World's Columbian Exposition, which is this American contribution to a very long line of 19th and early 20th century glamorous world's fairs, right? Not quite how we think of them today. Mm-hmm. Then, in association with that, they decided to hold a series of international congresses that they called the World Congress Auxiliary. That ranged very broadly from discussions of business culture, of public health, of universal language, all sorts of big globalizing ideas were under discussion there. One of those meetings was the Department of Religion. Mm. Now, in the Department of Religion, you had denominational meetings, Christian Science, Congregational, Presbyterian, Roman Catholic, Jewish Congress, all of this. And then kind of above that, extracted from that Congress of Religion, you had the World's Parliament of Religion, which was a 17-day event, sometimes referred to as a union meeting.
Okay.
That was considered the distillation not only of the Congress of Religion, but of the World Congress Auxiliary and the exposition itself. People really saw it as this nobler, higher contribution to the Columbian celebrations.
Right. So, Megan and Richard, how would you characterize the Parliament as a celebration of religious pluralism versus a contest between different religions and maybe modern relevance of different religions?
The whole theme of the Parliament, which was unity and brotherhood, meant to bring these different groups together so that they could have a conversation and really have an even playing field. And then when looking at historically how things were perceived, it felt more competitive, that there were winners and losers as opposed to everyone having this broad conversation that brought everyone together, that showed the similarities rather than the differences.
Mm-hmm.
As time went on, it was looked at as a more competitive situation, as more who made out well, who was represented the best, who came across in the best light.
Yeah, I would agree with Megan there. And I would just add that I think we have to remind ourselves that discussions of pluralism, be they political pluralism or religious pluralism, are really mid-20th century discussions. So they didn't really have that apparatus. And when you look at the guidelines for the Department of Religion in the Parliament, there's lots of ambiguity about precisely this question. We're all here to unite, but clearly, Christianity will be the best. And, you know, there were just lots of latent assumptions that went into the agenda that a century later you see as very problematic.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, it was a liberal opening to the world.
Right.
You know, they just didn't quite understand what they were dealing with, really.
Right. I mean, is it fair to say it was a little bit of a Pandora's box?
That phrase might have been absolutely used by evangelical American conservatives. Another thing that's really important to think about the American context back then, you still had a very unambiguous Protestant establishment that pretty much ran the show in America.
Right.
And right at that point, the schism is beginning to open up between those people who would be considered fundamentalists in those who would be considered liberal Protestants, just right there.
Mm-hmm.
So that is under the surface making itself felt, particularly in responses afterwards when people are assessing who won, who lost, and the conservatives feel they lost.
Mm.
Now, of course, you've got the Catholics and Jews there too, which is a whole, you know, additional American story. So it was opening a Pandora's box.
Yeah.
Another phrase that you get from conservatives that Israel danced with Baal.
Oh, right. Well, I can't help hearing you say, well, there were a lot of people who didn't like the Parliament. To bring you in, Megan, what was the feeling about the Parliament within the Christian Science community, and how did that unfold?
So Judge Septimus J. Hanna was, at the time, the pastor of the Mother Church in Boston, as well as the editor of the Christian Science Journal.
Right.
And he was handpicked by Mary Baker Eddy to present the address at the Congress because she did not want to participate. In the immediate aftermath of Hanna presenting at the Parliament, there was a lot of really positive energy surrounding Christian Science at the Parliament and how they were portrayed and how their religion came across on the world stage.
Yeah.
And then there were more negative feelings. There was an issue with Hanna publishing the address against the wishes of Mary Baker Eddy. And then this also caused more friction because the address was associated or attributed to Hanna and not Mary Baker Eddy. There was some mixed feelings. There was initial excitement, and then some more hesitancy about putting forth any more information.
So, Megan, you were indicating that there were mixed feelings around what it meant for Christian Science to be at the World's Parliament of Religions in Chicago there in 1893. But I'm curious, for Mary Baker Eddy, who didn't attend, what was her take on it, her judgment on it from back home in New England?
So initially, the big push for participation to try to be included was coming from her students, especially the students that were based in Chicago, to which she was pretty adamant that she didn't want to participate. She was not going to be in Chicago. She felt it was too worldly. Mm-hmm. So eventually, there was an invitation to Christian Scientists to participate. And reluctantly, Mary Baker Eddy did agree to create or to help create this address that would be given at the Parliament. Her express wishes were that the address be only taken from her published writings. So she had students working to gather different excerpts from her published writings that would coincide with the theme of the event, which was unity and brotherhood. She was very clear that she didn't want anything in the address to be negative or derogatory towards any other religion. So she was very aware of the fact that this would be given in front of a very varied group, and she didn't want there to be any reason to feel that they were attacking anyone else or that they were putting any other religion below themselves. So that was her initial feeling. So at the very end of the conference, with the newspapers and the buzz, they felt that they were portrayed very well and that there was a lot of acceptance and a lot of understanding and just real interest. But you also had some of the other denominations maybe not being as friendly. You do have quite a few of the people who have been antagonistic towards her prior to this Parliament that continued. Mm-hmm. So she was dealing with that as well.
Yeah. Speaking of antagonists to Mary Baker Eddy, I couldn't help but notice that on the program at the World Parliament of Religions for September 22nd, 1893, you see one Joseph Cook on the same billing as Septimus Hanna. And Cook is very notable in Christian Science history as a fierce denouncer of Christian Science. Just 8 years prior to the Parliament, there was Cook in Boston in a very public forum reading aloud a letter from a fellow Boston clergyman painting a very dark picture of Mary Baker Eddy's ideas and their influence, to which Mary Baker Eddy felt obligated to respond and to point out their ill-conceived misunderstandings of her ideas. So extraordinary to see them both, Hanna as the face of Christian Science at the Parliament and Cook on that same stage on that same day as invitees to this groundbreaking initiative at global interfaith engagement. It's interesting to think about how that all would have come across to attendees at the Parliament.
You had partisans in the audience who enjoyed their speaker, mm-hmm. but there wasn't an overriding coherence to the development of a day.
Right, right.
So I think that must be what it felt like.
It's so fascinating to think of this interfaith conference going on within the context of a world's fair, many elements of which strike me as being, you know, almost carnival-like. What was the exposition like overall that kind of surrounded what was going on at the Parliament?
The fair itself was pretty significant. You had about 686 acres of land out of Chicago.